I invite your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. This will be a very short address, but it's on a very important and interesting subject. It's a word to mothers. A word to mothers. Paul writes to Timothy, and this is what he says in verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. I have been reminded, he says, of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Writing to Timothy, Paul speaks of the assurance, the confidence he has, that Timothy is a sincere and true believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. He really has experience and is living by saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows and is persuaded that Timothy's mother, Eunice, too, was a sincere believer. And the grandmother, Lois, she too, was a sincere believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. We know from Acts, the father was a Greek, the mother and so on were Jewesses. But the two women were converted to Christ. Whether the father was or not, I cannot say. We can definitely say that the mother and the grandmother were true believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. A word for mothers. I know that young mothers, I'm talking to sincere believers, I'm talking to those who have a living faith in Christ. I know that some young mothers, two or three children, whatever it may be, can feel, perhaps, that they are doing nothing for Christ. They would like to do something for Christ, they say, but their time is so heavily occupied in caring for the children and bringing up the children and running the home that their days and their hours are so occupied that it seems that they have no time at all, they would say, for doing anything for Christ. Is anybody, any young lady, listening to me now, who's in that position? I want to encourage you, sister. I want you to think right about this. You see, you say you're doing nothing for Christ. Lois, Eunice, Timothy. How did Timothy come to Christ? I don't know how Lois did. I don't know how Eunice did. But I have some inkling, some indication of how Timothy came to Christ. It says in the third chapter, and it says in the 15th verse, Paul writing to Timothy again, he says, how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. From infancy, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. How did Timothy know from infancy the scriptures? Well, it doesn't take a genius, doesn't take rocket science to work it out, does it? His mother taught him the scriptures. His mother spoke to him of the scriptures. His mother brought him up in the fear and the nurture and the admonition of God, according to the Ephesians. It says in Scripture, in the Proverbs, train up a child in the way in which he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Now, I know there's difficulties with that text, but I take it there as it stands. If you bring up your child to swear and blaspheme and hate God and ignore God, don't be surprised if they go on like that. By God's grace, they can be converted. But train up a child to gamble. Train up a child to lie and steal. Train up a child to be respectable but godless. And you know what to expect. You know what to hope for. But Lois and Eunice, I think they were both in it. Eunice had the prime responsibility, the mother. I'm sure that they brought Timothy up in the fear and nurture and admonition of God and taught him the scriptures. And from infancy, he had known the scriptures. The scriptures could make him wise for salvation. They could inform his mind. But the time came when God worked in his heart and his soul and brought him to trust Christ in the scriptures. And that's how he came into saving faith. So, dear sister, may I encourage you, doing nothing for Christ? You have a child? You have two children, three? And you're doing nothing for Christ? Bring up these children in the fear and nurture and admonition of God. Pray over them. Point them to Christ. Draw them to Christ. Love them to Christ. Doing nothing for Christ? If you see three converts, what a wonderful thing. Nothing for Christ indeed. But I would warn you, not to make a dreadful mistake here. Many go dreadfully wrong here. I'm thinking of Presbyterians and people like that. They take the Abrahamic covenant, the promises to Abraham, and they, in a completely mistaken way, bring these promises over wholesale without any nuance or any interpretation or application. They bring it straight over into the new covenant. So that as Jacob had a son, and he circumcised him, and as Jacob was an Israelite, so his son was an Israelite, that is quite right. So these dear people think that if father was in the covenant, if father was converted, if I sprinkle my baby, he'll be in the covenant, and he'll be converted. I know of a man. I met him when I was preaching in Scotland. And his son was most anxious about his father. His son was a believer. But the son was most anxious because his father was unconverted. And whatever I did in my way of preaching, whoever preached, and whatever thing you said to the father, he had one answer. I'm all right, my boy. I'm all right. My father was in the covenant. Now, whatever he understood by that or meant by it, I don't know. But because my father was saved, I'm saved. Because my father was a Presbyterian, I'm a Presbyterian, or whatever he might have meant by it. He meant the highest thing. He thought he was eternally saved because his father was in the covenant. Lois was saved, but that didn't mean Eunice was. Eunice was saved, but that didn't mean Timothy was. We're all born sinners, my friend. We have to be born again. And if you're born to a Presbyterian who's baptized you, you're not saved by that, I assure you. You're not saved by association. You're not born a Christian. You have to be born again. Because you've got Christian parents. It doesn't make you a Christian. I'm an Englishman. My son and my daughters were English, yes. My wife and I were converted and Christians, believers. We had three children, but it didn't make them believers. They had to come each for themselves. To Christ. We taught them the scriptures. From infancy they knew the word of God and other great matters like this. We taught them the principles of the faith. We pointed them to Christ. We hope we lived out before them the gospel. But they had to come by God's Spirit to Christ. So don't make a mistake here. Don't think that your children are saved because you are. Don't think, my friend, you're saved because your father was or your mother was. It's a most blessed privilege to belong to Christian parents. But it doesn't save you. There's no natural connection. You're not saved, not regenerate. John chapter 1. You're not saved by natural connections. You have to be born again. But there is the promise. Train up these children in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. So I would encourage you, but I would warn you. So don't think, believing sister, that because you're so bound with your children and you're caring for them, that you're doing nothing for Christ. So be encouraged by the scripture, but be warned by it. And teach them the scriptures, but not just the stories of scripture. Preach Christ to them, not in the sense of preaching a sermon, but live it out before them. Point them to Jesus. Draw them to Jesus. And what a privilege it will be to hear them one day calling out to the Lord to be saved. This faith, it dwelt in the grandmother Lois, in the mother Eunice, and then in Timothy. So I would encourage you, my sisters, not to be cast down that you're not serving Christ, for you are. And what a privilege to bring up children in the fear and nurture and admonition of God.